Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is Abram Booty, former wide receiver, I think a high school legend, man. At one time, he held every national record for catches, TDs, and yards at Evangel Christian. Abram Booty, thanks for joining us all the way from Texas. You know, sometimes I want to say Shreveport, but Texas.
Yeah, Shreveport's where it all started. But no, I appreciate you having me on, Lee, and always been a big fan of Louisiana Football Magazine and a big fan of yours as well.
Abram, I'm really good friends with your dad, John, and your brother, Josh. And I know John David, your other brother, that played at USC. You played at LSU and Valdosta State. We'll talk about that. And, you know, Josh played at LSU. Jake was a good quarterback at Evangel Christian. When you were growing up as a kid, and you got all these quarterbacks in the family, but you're the receiver, you know, you got three brothers quarterbacks, Jake, Josh, John David, and your dad was a quarterback. What was it like growing up in that household with everybody playing ball, probably, I would imagine, as kids?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, Josh is the oldest, and then me. And then there's a pretty big gap between John David and Jake. So not a lot of people know this, Lee, but I was a quarterback as well in middle school. Just kind of got pushed into it because, of, like you said, it's kind of a family deal. And then when I became a freshman at Evangel, after my eighth grade year playing quarterback, I knew I wasn't going to be the starter because my older brother Josh was a senior quarterback and the number one player in the country. So if I wanted to get on the field, I needed to switch to something else. So I played receiver for a year as a freshman and got a chance to start on that team. I was a third receiver. We had two senior All-State players in front of me, Steve Parker and DeMarcus Sims, but I was the third receiver and actually got a chance to catch a touchdown pass in the state championship from Josh. That's quite a memory in Evangel's first ever state championship. And I loved the position so much, I just stayed there. And we had a young quarterback coming up by the name of Phillip Bees, which was, ended up being great in his own right and playing in the side of North Carolina. And I fell in love with the position and stayed there ever since.
Yeah, I mean, you know, quarterback you, Abram, I mean, look at the quarterbacks, you know, with your brother John David at USC, Josh at LSU, Dez Duran, Denny's son who broke records, Brock Berlin, Brent Rawls.
Yeah.
Phillip Dees, you know, Brent Rawls went to Oklahoma, Brock went to Florida and Miami. I mean, you know, it was like, was there a high school, even California, before Mater Dei had all these guys? I mean, Evangel was the first to have that many, and I still think all time, some of the best quarterbacks to ever come out.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Dad was the quarterback coach there. Of course, offense was kind of built around Denny Duran's, scheme, which was fantastic and ahead of the time at that time. But as far as I, you know, we talk about sometimes with my dad, you know, Coach Josh is the number one player in the country, USA Today, Brock Berlin, you know, it's just 6 or 7 years later. And then John David, which was the number one player in the junior class in the country, and then he ended up signing with USC. So that's three guys within 10 years that were the best players in the country at the quarterback position. Still to this day, and I think you said, Lee, probably modern day would be the closest to come to that. Now, high school football's changed a lot, and there's all-star teams being built all over the country, especially California. But at that time, there was nothing that had ever been done like that in the entire country at that position. It was pretty phenomenal to be a part of it. And a lot of people don't know this. You know, I caught touchdown passes from Josh. Phillip, of course, was my main quarterback. And then I also caught a touchdown pass from Brock when he was a freshman and I was a senior. So wow. I got to play with the three great ones.
The trifecta, man.
yeah.
When you look at, you know, Phillip Dees being the other quarterback right after, you know, your brother Josh, but Phillip had a, you know, he signed with Mack Brown at North Carolina. It's crazy. Mack is now back at North Carolina after being at Texas.
Yep.
And then the coaching staff at Evangel, Abram, y'all had a special coaching staff, you know, led by, you know, your dad on the staff, John, and then Denny Duran, and then Ronnie Alexander, one of the best defensive coaches in the country, and then John and John Bachman and several others, but that was a heck of a staff.
Yeah, it was. We were really blessed as young men, not only to have great coaches, but I think one of the secrets to the success of the Evangel program was there was great men for, you know, young guys like us to model ourselves after. They really walked the walk in, talked the talk, and were great examples. And then, of course, you know, Coach Dunn came in there. There was always the schematics and the chemistry and the even charisma while those guys that you just mentioned. But when Coach Dunn came over from Woodlawn and really brought organization and tremendous, you know, leadership to the program. I mean, I don't know of a better coaching staff in the country that's ever been assembled in the high school level.
I don't either. I think it was the best staff ever I've ever seen. And, you know, Abram, what's crazy is that, you know, Dennis Dunn coached James Gilliard at quarterback at Woodlawn, who people forget was a quarterback and played DN at LSU, James Gilliard.
Yep.
The all-SEC DN. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more on Abram Booty. And I want to talk about Abram's son, General Booty, that, you know, grandfather, your dad, John, has been one proud papa for ever since he was an eighth grader. He called me and when y'all were in San Antonio. We'll talk more about your son and talk about some more of the success out of Evangel, some more of the great players. We can't mention them all, so if you're an Evangel graduate, don't get mad at me. We can't say every name. There's too many, but we'll keep mentioning some of the guys that have come out of the school. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Abram Booty. Abram, before we get to your son, at one time, you held every record for a high school receiver, and we talked about this back when, you know, the offense was more balanced when you played. It wasn't throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game like it did in the late 90s and 2000s. And now it's, you know, like we talked about, slot receivers will catch five passes by halftime now, and it's nothing to see a guy with 14 catches, right, 15 catches. Trey Quinn came along at Barb and broke some of your records, and still to this day, you're in the top five nationally in some of those categories. And back in just a tribute to what your dad did, and Denny Duran and Dennis Dunn and all the coaches, John Bachman, the passing was so balanced that y'all didn't throw it every down, and y'all still had a run game. Y'all had the Jacob Hesters of the world, the Robert Davises of the world. And, you know, it was not throwing the ball. Look, maybe your brother, Josh, would I be right saying this, might have threw the ball 20 times a game, if that?
Yeah, I think, Josh, you know, in the early days, they really actually had to throw a little bit more than when I played because we didn't have an offensive line, and that's kind of where the 9-yard shotgun came into effect. We had a center that could get it back there, and we had some offensive linemen that were giving the old lookout blocks, like they hit the guy one time and then turn around, they look out, you know, so – right. They threw it even a little bit more than us, but by the time I got there, we had assembled some pretty good linemen and running backs and skill guys, so we were pretty balanced. A lot of people think Evangel just threw it every single time, and we did throw more than, you know, most people at that time. You look at the Haynesvilles and the John Curtises and the Birds and compare to them because they were running the ball every time. But we really were very balanced. You know, I never even called a receiver screen one time in my career. Anything behind the line of scrimmage nowadays, you can get 6 or 7 catches a game just on some receiver screens or bubbles or pop passes. But we were really more down the field when we did throw. But that made it fun being balanced and being able to attack deep against some defenses that weren't quite ready for it at that time. So we had a lot of fun.
Speaking of receivers to come out of the program, Thomas Bachman was a slot receiver at Evangel, now the current coach at Ash. And then you had Trent Taylor was a great receiver, now still in the NFL as a slot receiver. Philip Geiger was a heck of a DB receiver for Evangel. Justin Hermes, your boy Justin Hermes, signed with Kentucky. He was a good one. We can go on and on, like you said, back when it started, some of the guys that started in the beginning, but – changing the subject to go to your son. Your son graduated, and he's graduating this year, but he's headed to Tyler Junior College. Like so many kids, lack of scholarships. Sometimes it's a better route to go. I think it's great, by the way, Abram, that he's going to junior college to showcase another year to re-sign again when this thing gets back numbers-wise. But your son, General Booty, you told me he's 6'2 and a half now, about 195, got a cannon arm. And was it like, you know, watching him play at Allen High School, one of the biggest high schools in Texas right there around Dallas? Allen's known for having some phenomenal players, great facilities. But, you know, what was it like sitting there in the stands or, you know, saying, hey, man, I got to slap myself here, man. My son's playing ball now.
You know, you hear, you know, all the old timers when I was young that talked about, you know, they loved playing, but they loved watching their son or their daughter play more. And, you know, now I know what that means because I did. I loved watching him play. I'm real proud of him. He's a good young man. He loves God. He's a straight A student. So first, he's a good person and a good leader. He was voted team captain after only being here 8 months. And like you said, they have a tremendous tradition. They have more kids on the team than any other place in the country. You know, Kyler Murray played here, and they had a lot of greats play here. And he was named all conference to a very tough conference here, even over a kid that, you know, the top 10 quarterback in the country going to Texas A&M. So it's quite an honor. He had several Division I offers, but nowhere, to be honest with you, that he wanted to hang his hat for 4 years. So with the COVID year and a lot of these guys in college getting the chance to come back and play a fifth or sixth year, he thought it would be best, and I agree, to go to Tyler Junior College. They have a young coach in Jarrell Jackson that's coached under Dan Mullen and Mike Leach and loves to throw it around a lot. So he's going to play a season there, be there a semester, and then revisit the Division I opportunities at the end of the year. But he's a good player and a great leader.
What I like is you can sign in 6 months in that 222 class, basically 6 months after the 221
right.
class. And he was 6'8 All-State this year as a quarterback, again, 6'2 and a half, 195. Hey, look. Anybody listening, we got a lot of college coaches listening too, Abram. I want to make sure they know that your son, General Booty, is a what's the joking word, a free agent. He hadn't signed with anybody, and so
That's right. He's
there to play this full season this year. Pray to God we can have a full normal year and full junior college schedule, and all the colleges can get back to normal. Abram, tell everybody how you ended up in Texas. I know that your dad, John, moved to Texas. Y'all started off in San Antonio, and then I know you went to Allen, and we'll talk about more about Josh and Jake and John David later in the show. But how's it been for you living in Texas, being from Shreveport?
It's great. You know, it's been an interesting ride, probably more so for our kids than myself. You know, my wife Amy is awesome. She's a trooper, always ready for change at any moment, and just loves life. And then also have a daughter by the name of Avery. She's a sophomore and Precious. But, you know, we were in California for a period of time, General's freshman year. And then his sophomore year, my dad took a job at Cornerstone Christian in San Antonio and as an AD. And he said, Abram, would you come be the head coach? And we debated it for a while because we'd been in California at that time, Newport Beach, for about 5 years and loved it and still do. But decided to take on that challenge for a year. Then we moved back to California, and then COVID hit. After General's junior season there, he played in the Trinity League against Modern Day and St. John Bosco and a lot of those teams that are great out there. And I was thinking about moving back close to the South, and, you know, my parents again anyway, and Amy's mom still lives in Shreveport, so we made the move. And, you know, we were just kind of fortunate, God bless us, because about a month after we left, they shut down California, and, you know, they didn't even have a fall season. So General and Avery enrolled in Allen, and you know, it's just a spectacle here. It's unique. It's a unique place. You know, their stadium, $40 million stadium. It holds about 25,000. They have 600 kids just in their band. I mean, it really feels like a college experience going to a ball game. If you've never been and you like high school football and listening, and you can make a quick trip to Dallas for a Friday night game in Allen, it's pretty special feeling, and they take it very, very seriously.
Abram, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to about your days, and you and your brother both went to LSU, and then there's a cool little trivia you told me about when you were at Valdosta State where you finished playing ball, but there were a couple of coaches there that we all know now, and it's just crazy looking back that they were there And we'll mention who those coaches are today. Everybody recognizes these guys. We're going to take a break. We have more with Abram Booty, former Evangel Christian wide receiver in LSU and Valdosta State wide receiver. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. We're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest is Abram Booty, one of my favorite players I've ever covered in my 30 years. One of the most fascinating families, one of the great families that just, I mean, just, I got to know your brother Josh and your dad John back in the beginning in 91. I can't believe it. I'm getting old, Abram. And then you have a kid in college. It's just crazy that all your brothers, a lot of them have kids coming up, and John David. How's he doing in California? He's in California, right, John David, right now?
He's doing fantastic. He's been married about 8 years now, and he has a daughter and two sons.
Wow.
And he's in commercial real estate out there with some of the USC guys and doing very well. And, you know, John David, in knowing him, he was a great player. He's voted two-time team captain at SC and Rose Bowl MVP, but he's a tremendously hard worker and has really gotten into developing real estate, mostly around the USC campus.
And then your other two brothers, Jake, your youngest brother, and Josh are living. You told me they're living in Miami, Florida. Man, I am jealous. That's a great place to live. Never snows over there.
They're in Miami. I just visited them 2 weeks ago. They're doing great. They developed, and Jack kind of led it, but Josh is working with them, a new application. It's called Bula, B-U-L-A, and it is a fun app. If you get a chance to download it, it's a social challenge app. It's fun to play. It's fun to challenge your friends, and they've been focusing on that for probably the last 6 months now, and it's doing well.
Hey, look, we can't just promote your brother's businesses without promoting you, what you do, man. We got to do that now. So tell everybody what you've been doing for, heck, almost 20 years now in a Prime America, I believe, still, right?
Yeah, Prime America is financial services, and we've built agencies all over Louisiana and Texas and even have an office out in California where I stayed there and been doing that for over 15 years. And love it. We get a chance to help the middle class and getting out of debt and saving for retirement. And I have about 100 agents all over, mostly the South, and it's going very well.
I want to mention another little note about Evangel Christian. I know that Abram will agree with me on this. At one time, it was called, I called it D-Line U, Defensive Line U. It started with Eric Jefferson,
yeah,
who was just a freak of an athlete, 6'4", 270. Then the late Cole Pittman. One of the player of the year, but to both of them, player of the years, their years coming out, Eric and Cole, and then Chase Pittman, Cole's brother, Kenyatta Dawson, Byron Dawson, Stevie Lee, so many great D linemen. I mean, look, the great teams, you can't just have offense when you were there. Man, y'all had one of the best D lines for like a decade in the country.
Yeah, no, I think you can, and there's a lot of guys you can throw in there, but Chris Bowers would be one.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal defensive end when John David played. Zach Schreiber went to Alabama. Elite, and I don't want to leave some guys out and others more, but
I got one, Tyler Satterwhite, right? He was another one.
Tyler Satterwhite was absolutely fantastic. He was undersized, if you look at it compared to those other guys. Other guys are monsters, but as a player, buddy, he just flat out get after it. There's a lot of those guys, but you know, Evangel, they had the quarterbacks early, then the receivers started wanting to play with the quarterbacks, then the offensive line showed up, and then the defensive line, you're right, Lee, I mean, it kind of stole the show there for about 10 years and really, really put Evangel on the map from the elite, you know, being in the USA Today top 10, winning the national championship in 1999 was because that defensive front was so dominant.
I can't leave out my friend here, Jamario Rasko. He was another one that went to LSU.
Oh, Rasko. Yeah. I mean, we've forgotten probably 20 people, but right. Yeah, absolutely. He was an absolute fantastic player.
And then you look at the linebackers like Bubba Alexander that went to LSU, your buddy Ronnie's son. You look at Jacob Hester. How proud are you of Jacob Hester playing the pros, and now he's a celebrity in the media now? Old Jacob Hester's doing good now.
Yeah, and it couldn't happen to a better guy and a better family. You know, he married into the Tilly family, which Chris Tilly coached at a Vandal for a long time, offensive coordinator. But Jacob is just a great family man, a hard worker, and what a great example for people in Louisiana. You know, someone that kids can look up to and say, hey, I'd like to be like that guy.
Want to take a break, bring you back. I want to talk more about your son, General Booty, and talk about Tyler Junior College and also Valdosta State. Just the two guys that were there just blows my mind. The two guys that were there, we're going to throw those names out when we come back. They're currently big names in college football that were at Valdosta State with Abram when he was finishing his days after leaving LSU. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Abram Booty, former wide receiver, Evangel Christian, LSU, and Valdosta State. I remember, Abram, when you left LSU, and you know, at the time, you know, during that time, I tell everybody, during those Hallman days, that was just a crazy time at LSU. And you know, they had a lot of players leave. They had, you know, it was just, they just, and you look at it today, and you look at, they won three national championships since that time. But do you ever say to yourself, man, the era I was there, you know, and then you look at what LSU's done in the last 10 years, it's just crazy how different it is with their program.
Football. It is. It's totally different. And it's just getting better and better, obviously. I really like Coach O. I know last year they struggled a little bit, but I spent a little time with Coach O last summer with General at a summer camp. And just what a stand-up straight guy. He was actually the defensive line coach at USC when John Davis was playing there under Pete Carroll. So we got a chance to know him there. Of course, being a Louisiana guy, there was a connection. But I think he's going to get that thing turned around. And, it was unique when I was there. You know, we had Jared Innardo, the head coach, and I had 1 year basically with Saban right at the very beginning before they really got things going. But I'm really proud of the program and what they've done with it. And it's always fun to follow the Tigers.
You know, I remember, Abram, and there's a game that sticks out to me, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, your hometown. Man, you had a heck of a bowl game for LSU, number 88, in that Independence Bowl. You were just – they couldn't cover you in that game.
Yeah.
And I say Curly Hallman, by the way. Curly Hallman, DiNardo, those two combined were just
– yeah.
That was a crazy 8-9 years.
It was, Lee. But let me tell you this. You know, there were some great players that came out of those teams. Now, look at Alan Banister, which just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. Tom McClure played center there. Kevin Falk was our running back. I mean, we had some really good – Booger McFarland was our nose tackle, which everybody knows Booger today from being an analyst. But yeah. We had some great players. And the reality is my freshman year, I got a chance to start as a true freshman, which, you know, take one of the things I take pride in. I had my first 100-yard game against Florida in our third game when they were number one in the country. We upset them at home. But we had some good teams and ranked top 10 in the country several times. But towards the end of DiNardo's career, you're right, it kind of tailed off there. A lot of guys started leaving, and then that's why initially that Nick Saban got the opportunity. And of course, you know, he took it and ran with it.
You know, another guy I remember that I really loved during that era was Chuck Wiley, Abram, the defensive end, Chuck Wiley.
Oh, Chuck was fantastic. He was fantastic and a great leader.
They had a lot of good players. You remember the linebackers? Remember Spears, Markeith Spears? Remember him?
Markeith, absolutely. They called him Big Thick because he was about 6'2", 280. He was so thick. Yeah. And Ryan Clark, you know, Ryan Clark played free safety. And we had some players.
Yeah. Faneca and Kevin Mawa and Ben Bornelon.
Mawa.
And I think that on that team you were teammates with Gabe Northern, right? Gabe Northern was on that team too.
He was going out right when I was coming in, but yeah. I remember Gabe.
Yeah, he and you know, like you said, yep. LSU's even when they didn't have y'all didn't finish well or didn't have the final season top 10 ranked. There was great players every year in the program at LSU. And speaking of turning the attention back to Valdosta State, so when you finished at Valdosta in Georgia, a lot of people don't remember that other college, Valdosta State, that you went to. But you told me when you were there, Abram, you said there were two coaches on the staff at the time when you were playing receiver there. And you said, just two coaches. And I'm like, who? And you went, Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart. And I'm like, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Chris Hatcher was the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator for Hal Mumme back in the Kentucky days with Tim Couch. But he hired Will Muschamp to be the defensive coordinator. And right when I got there, Will got an opportunity to move on. As everybody knows where he's at now, he's been all over the place, but he became an assistant to Coach Saban. And we were all down and kind of distraught, like we're losing our coordinator. Within the assistant defensive coordinator stepped up and got promoted, and that's Kirby Smart, which became now a fantastic head coach for Georgia, and he's elite every year. So, and he was a young coach, and he was probably 26, 27 years old, but man, he had some fire and some enthusiasm and energy, and he obviously knew what he was doing, and he's gone on to have a tremendous career.
I want to mention this too before we go, Abram. I want to, because I think Tyler Junior College is going to love me for doing it, but also want to help you, and I want to help General Booty, your son. But if Louisiana natives want to come to a game this year, or just Texas people listening to this show, we go to Texas too, and we go to a lot of people in East Texas and Shreveport and Bossier and Natchitoches. But tell everybody, do you have an idea how the games are going to be kind of lined up and what time Tyler will play their games? And I know it's in Tyler, Texas, but just to give people an idea, is the schedule, when do they start playing games? What's the schedule?
Yeah, so great, great question. Now, all the junior colleges, like some of the smaller level, even Division I A teams this year, they're playing right now in the spring. But starting back in the fall, they're going back to a normal schedule. So they'll have their first game at the beginning of September. They'll have camp in August. And they'll play right there at Tyler Junior College. But they have a really nice campus. And normally, even in the league that they play in, is all within 30, 40 minutes from their campus. It's a really great league. I mean, they have probably anywhere between 15 and 20 players a year from each team that go on to play big time Division I football. So it's going to be an exciting season, and I'm really excited to watch General play in that. But there's going to be some elite talent too. So yeah, if you're free on Saturdays and you can make a quick trip to Tyler, come on down and watch and play.
What time are their games usually going to be, Abram? Is it day game and night games, or mostly night, or is there really
it's mostly day. And I need to get the schedule. Maybe you can put it up somewhere. But they're mostly day games, unless there's something that changes for travel. And then I think they may play one or two in the evening. But yeah, mostly day Saturday games, and just like normal college football.
Now, your son, I mean, I know you grew up an LSU fan, and Josh did, and a lot of your family. Your dad played at Mississippi State, John. But
he did.
Where do you think did your son have a dream school growing up? Did your son like a school or two growing up, or was he wide open as a kid growing up playing the game?
He was always wide open. I think if you look back, either me or Josh, which we both played at LSU, and John Davis played at SC. I don't know if John Davis would have told you he was going to play at SC a year before that, and I don't know if I'd have told you I was going to end up at LSU, a year before that. So I think we've all been open. I think he's just trying to look for the best fit for him at the perfect time. And, quarterback position is unique in that there's only one that plays on the field, right? So you got to not only find the right school, find the right coach, the right system, and the right situation, depending on, is that quarterback a younger guy, older guy? So there's a lot of thought that goes on into it. So it'll be interesting to see.
Abram, and I want to get your opinion. You know the game. You've coached, and you've coached your son, and you've been around some of the best players in the country growing up, including your brothers. Where do you compare your son's skill set to all the quarterbacks you've seen in Evangeline, which there were so many types, with Brent Rawls and Philip Dees and Brock Berlin and your brother, Josh and John David and, all these guys. But would General fit any of those skill sets, or is he his own skill set?
You know what? I'll just use my brothers because, you did name some great names with Brock and Rawls and those guys, but he would remind you probably more of Josh John David was just such a smooth, you know, deliverer and pocket passer, but general would be a little bit more raw, athletic like Josh, but with more speed. He can run. He's got a little bit of my speed. He's a 4.6 flat guy, laser time at LSU last summer. So he can really run. If you get a chance to pull up his highlights, you'll see I think he had 10 to 12 rushing touchdowns this year. So he's got a good arm. He makes good decisions. He's an on-time passer, meaning he leaves the field well and he delivers the ball on time. But when he needs to run, he can really pull it down and take off. It's hard to compare him to those guys because those are some of the best guys ever to do it in high school football history. But general, he's got his work cut out for him, but he's a hard worker. And again, he's just a really good leader and a field general. I think we named him right by naming him general. He's really a field general and takes command. And he's got a lot of work to do, but he's ready to do it.
I love the name General Abram. Incredible name. I want to mention, too, I want to get your opinion of I got to ask you this question before we go, but Joe Burrow winning the Heisman Trophy. Did you follow a lot of his games, that phenomenal season that was special at LSU and winning the Heisman, him coming from Ohio State? And what do you think of Joe Burrow and what he did at LSU and what that did to maybe, you know, elevate the program again with kids growing up? Joe Burrow, he's a phenomenal quarterback, isn't he?
Joe Burrow's fantastic. One of the more natural, fluid quarterbacks. Now, he was also athletic, obviously. Everyone knows he could escape and make plays with his feet. But his decision-making, I haven't seen a quarterback at LSU be able to dissect a play, make a decision, and throw with that kind of accuracy, obviously, ever. He's one of the best to ever do it. And I think the shot in the arm that he gave the state is absolutely amazing. I don't know him personally, never met him, but it was a real pleasure to watch him this year and so excited to see what he does in the future. I think he's going to become an all-pro guy in the NFL. He's got that hit factor that people talk about, but he is a prototypical, if you look at what do you want a quarterback to be able to do in the course of the game, to dissect the play, make the right read, throw with accuracy, and then be able to scramble and make plays on your own and lead with confidence, that's Joe Burrow.
Well, I'll tell you what. I remember years ago, just years ago, when I went to a practice and y'all were timing 40s at Evangel. And this is proof. I saw it with my own eyes. But you ran a 4.5 40 the day I was there. And I remember your dad saying, Abram runs 4.5 all day and even faster. I said, man, that's pretty impressive. And then I will say this, if you would have been at LSU and Joe Burrow with Joe, you would have caught 85, 90 passes. I really believe that.
I tell you this, sometimes I think about, cause I had, you know, I could have went anywhere in the country, you know, my top three, and then narrowed it down to was Florida, was Steve Spurrier, Tennessee when Peyton was playing there, and they were both throwing it around. But there was something about staying home in Louisiana, pulling on the heartstrings. And I'm really second-guessed myself, but I'm glad that I made that decision to spend my time in the state of Louisiana with Louisianians, and I love it. But I agree, if you could play with Joe Burrow and that offense they had last year, that's a receiver's dream.
That would have been the perfect three receivers. Abram Booty, Justin Jefferson, and Jamar Chase.
They had some good ones, man. I didn't mean me.
And Josh Reed. Throw Josh Reed in there as a 4.4 wide. Isn't that, yep. That would have been a great deal. But, Abram, people in Louisiana, just so you know how I meet up with these old coaches and we talk about the old days and current. But they love you, man. The Louisiana people love you. And they're glad you still went to LSU, and I just want you to know that people always bring up your name in Louisiana about, you know, your great career at Evangel and the family, and I'm gonna say it right now, just a class act. Your dad John and your brother Josh, and I've met Jake a couple of times. Your whole family, just great people.
Well, Lee, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot that the people in Louisiana would think that, because I feel the same way. And like I said, I want to thank you for the dedication, the time, and the light that you shed on the game through Louisiana Football Magazine. We're all big followers of your magazine and your program, and love being associated with you in any chance that we get.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to try. I can't promise, but I'm going to try and get to one of them Tyler games, hopefully, somehow.
Let's go.
And look, when you're in Baton Rouge, tell me when you and your dad come to town, or Josh or whoever, let me know. We'll go to eat. Everybody can go eat, and we could catch up when y'all come to town.
I love it. So I love it. Thank you, Lee.
Abram, appreciate it. Don't hang up yet. We're going to end the show. Everybody go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. And our editor, Jace Lejeune, interviews several high schools promoting kids, a lot of kids that are still available to sign that didn't sign in the early or late signing period. A lot of good football players. There's over 82 D1 players in Louisiana, I counted, that still didn't get a scholarship. 82, Abram, that haven't signed that are D1. So we're going to talk. We're still writing about these kids, trying to help them. Go to our site. You can read about a lot of these guys. People say, well, when are you going to start the 222 class? When we're done with these 221 guys, helping them, I want to help them still because of what happened with COVID. We will see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.